I believe maybe this is what the Lord has for us this evening. Got 21 points. Can't beat that, can you, Dustin? 21 points. I won't preach all of them. Would say I don't think I'm going to be long, but I don't think that's the case, you see. Well, I want to read in, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's pray before I go any farther. Father, in Jesus' name, please help me tonight. You know the need of the hour. You know where we're at. You know, Father, what needs to be said. I ask you to open the hearts of the listeners, remove all hindrances, do an eternal work in our midst this evening. Please help me. Give me clarity of thought and speech. And do what you know needs doing. Have your way now. And we'll give you the glory for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, in Genesis chapter number 24, we come to a... And I'm going to read it to you in just a minute, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to read. I'm not going to read all of it. That's for sure. But I'm going to read just a few verses for you. And we'll try to preach on this idea on a model servant. A model servant of God. As we come to chapter number 24, Abraham is seeking a bride for Isaac, a Gentile bride for Isaac, in Canaan, where Abraham is residing. There is no godly brides. The Canaanite women, they are pagan idolaters. That's really what they are. They know nothing. They have no knowledge of the true and the living God. They're just idolaters. And Abraham's boy Isaac is needing a wife, and there's none that would meet the spiritual qualifications. And so Abraham is going to send his servant back. He gives specific instructions on what type girl that he's to bring back. And can I just say this to you young people? The Bible teaches us that you don't just marry whoever. Better listen at me. Don't marry whoever. By the way, let me say it again. I know I sound maybe sometimes like a broken record to you all, but I want to drive it home so much it just comes out when you need it. The second most important decision you'll ever make, young folk, is who you marry, who you choose for your mate. Second most important decision. The only thing I think greater than that is the decision you make about what you're going to do with Christ. That's right. And so I think it's extremely important. We do know this, the Bible teaches us to be careful about unequal yokes. Let me read. I wrote a verse or two down here in 2 Corinthians. In fact, I'll probably just turn my Bible and read that to you. This is more for the young people than it is anything this evening. The Bible says this. Young people, listen to me. Some of you quizzers, have y'all had 1 Corinthians yet? Well, good. You want 2 Corinthians? And you won't try to correct me if I misspell a word, missay a word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, the Bible says this, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, we use that for marriage, but I think that goes in the business world. I think that goes in any kind of relationship. I mean, we really tie it to marriage heavily, but I think that fits anything. You ought to be real careful about who you yoke up with in any kind of relationship. That's right. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? You answer these questions for me. I mean, in your mind, I don't want you to say anything out loud, but just answer these questions. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now I just ask you, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? Well, it's got a few other questions. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. My, I could just camp out right there and preach for a little while. Ye are the temple of the living God. Where's God abide today? In your heart. Where's that if you're saved? You're the temple of the living God. My, we take him to a lot of places he ought not go to. We expose him many times to a lot of conversations he ought not have to listen to. Amen, preacher. You know that's right tonight. You know that's right. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now let me get real plain with you young people who are saved. You ought not marry an unsaved person. Just let me just say that to you. It's an unequal yoke. Well, I love them. Well, you need to fall out of love with them. Don't marry an unsaved person. It'll be heartache for your life. That's what it'll be. And I'm not trying to be harsh. Some people make it work. They marry unequally yoked, and later on the spouse gets saved and everything works out. But I'm telling you, you're violating the Word of God, young person, if you're saved and you marry an unsaved individual. Amen. And really, I guess I ought to be careful about saying this, but I'm convinced a true man of God ought not to put his stamp of approval on an unequal yoke. By that I mean, I know we marry everything in the world. There's so-called men of God marry men to men and women to women. But I'm telling you, we ought not put our stamp of approval on unequal yokes. And by this world have a lot less divorce rate if God's men would stand true to that. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say, Isaac, Abraham is trying to get the right kind of wife for his son Isaac. And so we're gonna see that in his attempt to find a wife for Isaac, he uses his chief servant. He brings his chief servant, sends his chief servant to his homeland. And my, if you really want to get the right type, the picture that we see in Genesis 24 is the Holy Spirit, the elder servant. If you will look in verse 2, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit seeking out a Gentile bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the true picture that we have in this text. And so having said that, I want to read just till I feel like I need to quit. And then I want to preach to us on the thought of a model servant. A model servant. And my, there's so much we could say about that. Dre asked me this morning, was it after Sunday school or after church, where it is that we're not our own, we've been bought. I believe that's the scripture you were asking me about. The Bible does say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. I want you to listen. I'll get started here in just a minute. I've just got 23 points, so it won't take me long tonight. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God?" Now listen at this. "And ye are not your own." Ye are not your own. Now I don't know that many of God's people have ever got a hold of that truth. Not like they ought to. You're not your own. You are not your own property. People might say, "This is my body, don't you touch." If you're saved, your body's not yours. It's the Lord's who bought you, don't you say? And then it goes on and it says in verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price." Then it says this. Now listen what the Bible says. It's not what I'm saying, it's what the Bible says. "Therefore, glorify God in your body." Glorify God in your body. How do you do that? I guess that's to let your good works be seen of men. They may glorify your Father in heaven. Maybe that's what it is. But here's what it says. "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." It doesn't stop there. "And in your spirit." In your body and in your spirit, you're to glorify God. Doesn't? And then it says this, "Which are God's." Which are God's. Your body belongs to the Lord. And your spirit belongs to the Lord if you're saved. And so I want you to kind of just keep that in mind as we read about this servant. And what I want to do, since we don't belong to ourselves and we belong to the Lord, we're really servants of the Lord. And I want to pick out some little truths, and I'm not going to, I'm messing with you on those points. I've got that many points, but I won't preach that many points tonight. But I want you to understand we're servants of God. And I'm going to read here in a minute, but I just feel compelled to say a few things. Some people don't want to be servants of God. But my, if you're not a servant of God, you're not what you ought to be, because God has a work for all of us to do. And some folks piddle at the work of God. You may not know what piddle means, but that means just play around at it. They're not serious about being a servant of God. And they excuse their service to God. "I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too busy, I'm this or I'm that or I'm whatever." If you're breathing air and you're saved, God has you here for a reason. Amen. Amen. There's a work for you to do. And my, we need to understand that. And some people are busy about the work of the Lord. They never get anything done. They never accomplish anything. They're busy. You see that in the world. I suspect Brother Ronnie's had some employees like that. He's hired people, and maybe they stayed busy. They were busy doing things, but they never really accomplished anything. And I just wonder where we're at as servants. And I wonder what lessons we can learn from this servant that will help us be what we ought to be. And really, if you're not interested in doing anything for God, you probably ought to just turn the channel tonight. Because really, I'm talking to people that want their life to count for the Lord. I hope you young people, I hope there's something in your heart that was in my heart when I was a young person. I think back. I think about you all a lot. And I think back when I was a young person, and there was something burning in me to do something for God. Dre, just inside of me, I just wanted to do something for God. I wanted my life to count for Him. I wanted to serve Him. I'll tell you what I'd do, young person, if I was serious about serving the Lord, I'd ask Him to let me serve Him. That's right. I'd ask Him to use me in His Word. If you're serious about it, and you want, it's in your heart to do, I believe that's what I would do. And so some people never get anything done, even though they're busy. Some piddle around. They're really not busy. They're just trying to make up time pastime, whatever I need to say. But if you're serious about serving the Lord, and even though this is really a picture of the Holy Spirit working out a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ, there is some truths that will help us. And so having said that, I don't know, I feel like maybe I should have read first, but let me just read for a little while. Genesis chapter number 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. I'm in verse 1. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again." Don't you take him back. Don't you dare do that. That's what Abraham's saying. And then verse 7, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son." I butchered that. Let me read that again. "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither." And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she shall say, 'Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also,' let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master." And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And so I want to stop right there, and you get the picture. Here's the servant. He has received orders from Abraham. He's went back to Abraham's homeland to get a wife, and he said, Lord, he prayed and asked the Lord, when I ask for a drink, if it's the right one, let her agree to water the camels as well. And he asked of Rebekah for a drink, and she agreed to water the camels. And so he thinks he's found the right one. And so I want us to just, I'm not going to read the rest of this text. It's the story in its whole. But I want to pick out some verses and bring a few truths to you. Now, I've tried to establish to you that you're a servant. You've been bought with a price. Your body doesn't belong to you. Your spirit doesn't belong to you. Romans chapter 6 verse 18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And so Paul to the Romans identifies the saved as servants. And if you were to look in Titus, we studied this morning in Sunday school, Paul never lost sight of the fact that he was a servant. He said in Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, the first phrase, Paul, a servant of God. A servant of God. He didn't say, I'm a great preacher of God. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles of God, although later he did say he was an apostle. He did not. The first thing Paul thought of himself as he identified himself in the letter was that he was a servant. And my, that's so important. I said this, and I'm going to say it again. You in the Sunday school hour would just have to bear with me. But a servant, knowing that we're a servant, that ought to bring humility to our mindset. There ought not be any big shots in here, because really, we're servants. That's what we are. My, we ought to have some humility. We ought to be a submissive people. We ought to be submissive to the Master. What He says, we ought to do. If He leads us to something that is not comfortable or out of our comfort zone or something that may be difficult, He's still the Master, and we ought to do that. We ought to be submissive to His will. We ought to be selfless, not selfish, but selfless. A servant is concerned about what his Master wants and not what he wants, don't you see? I mean, this thing, we've got the wrong attitude about this thing. I'll tell you where we've come to. We're trying to work God into our life. And we ought to be working for God and living our life on what we have left, don't you see? Instead of just trying to squeeze Him into the calendar and on the schedule, our life, because we're servants, our life ought to be a life lived for the Master. If I can say that, well, we ought to be selfless. It ought not be about us. We ought to be committed to His work. Commitment is something you see very little of. My, if we're having a dinner, we can have a crowd. If we're having a working, we can have a few. That's why we don't have many to the prayer. You know why? Prayer's hard work. It's a labor. Unless you get in the spirit of prayer, and then it's a pleasure. But it's a commitment. We ought to be sober-minded. I said this morning, need to say it again. We're serving the Master of Masters. We're not just serving the Master, we're serving the Master, if you'll let me say it that way. We're engaged in the greatest work that's going on planet Earth. You tell me a greater work going on planet Earth than the Lord's work. T-
Tell me one. Not one. You can take the greatest highway that's being built, the greatest bridge. You can look at the whatever you want to look at. The greatest work going on planet Earth is the work of the Lord. My, we're engaged in that. We're servants in that work. And my, there ought to be some sober-mindedness about that. But can I say, too, there ought to be a work ethic. We live in a lazy, lazy society. And I know maybe I'm sounding harsh, and I don't mean to, but just the fact of the matter, people's lazy today. I don't know how we got there. I guess the television generation's grown up. I don't know. But my, it looks like to me, we're just dealing with a lot of lazy people, and even if they'll do anything, they halfway do it so they can get done and say they're finished with it, and behind a halfway effort is laziness. Well, that ain't going over so well, is it? But it's right. I'm telling you right tonight. Hey, you ought not carry out the Lord's work in a mediocre manner. Amen, preacher. Well, I ain't even got to my 20-something points. 21 points. I said 23. But many times, you're a servant of God. You don't belong to yourself. And we need the mindset of a servant. We need that. We're servants. We're not big shots. And my, what we want to do as a servant is accomplish work for the Lord and not, let me use my words again, not piddle or not work ourselves to death and not accomplish anything. We want to accomplish something for the Lord, don't you say? All right, now, having said all that, that's my burden. I want us to look at some little truths. The first thing I see in this text, he was unnamed. I mean, we can't say, oh, Mr. Smith or some last name, fill in the blank. He was quite a servant. I mean, he done a tremendous work for the work of God. He went down there and got a bride for Isaac, the right one, and brought her back. What a great servant he was. Can I just say this? His identity was not important. And I want to say to you, if you're going to be servant, you ought to be. You're going to have to get over yourself, get over your identity, get over who you think you are, the big shot you are. Assume the role of a servant. It's all about him and not about us. Amen, amen. Well, there's a work, and here he is. Didn't matter who he was, didn't matter. And who we are does not matter. He was not important, and neither are we. It was the work that he was asked to do that was important. Amen. Can I say, when it comes to this thing about the Lord, what he wants you to do is what's important. It's not about you, but it's the work he has for your life. Amen. Number one, he was unnamed. Number two, he was dependable. I want you to notice verse 2 again. He was the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. I mean, he had a track record. He had been, if you would allow me to say this, he was a faithful man. You could trust him. If you told him that you wanted something done, you could rest assured if it was within his power, he was going to get it done. I mean, he had been around a long time. He'd rose up. He's overseeing all the servants. You could trust him. You could depend on him. You could lean on him. My, the work and things had to get done in Abraham's household. He had one who would see that the work was done. My, we need that attitude. We need that attitude today. Whatever the Master says, we're going to do it. We're going to get it done. What He wants of us, with His help, we're going to get it done. My, if Abraham needed the work to be accomplished, this was the man for the job. I'd like to have that I'd like to have that reputation with the Lord, wouldn't you? I mean, the Lord says down here in Wallen, here's what we need to get done. I believe there's one down there who'll get the job done. That's old Preacher Wayne. I'd love it if that was the case. I'm not saying it is the case. I'm just saying I'd love that if the Lord felt that way about me. My, I'd like to just maybe have a track record one day could say that about me. Hey, I need this done. Hey, I want you, son, I want you to do that. Wouldn't that be something? That's where this fellow was at. I thought about him much. He was a dependable fellow. Abraham sending him an important job to get a wife for Isaac. And he picks out a man he can trust and want him to depend on. And this is the servant. But then I want you to notice this. Maybe I'll get through these. I don't know. Number three said this. We see this. The servant had to go. He could not accomplish the work of the Lord laboring around the house, around the farm, whatever Abraham had, his sojourner in Canaan, but he had flocks and herds, so I guess he had to have some farmland of some kind. But here's the servant, he had to go. He couldn't stay at the house and get done what Abraham needed to be accomplished. He couldn't do it. He could not accomplish this assignment by sitting or laboring at the house. He had to go where the bride was. And my, that's a great picture. That's a great picture, really, of the Great Commission. We have to go and tell. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what this servant had to do. He had to go. Can I say this? Many times what God wants you to do, you can't do inside the four walls of the church building. You may have to go see an old sinner. You may have to go on the job and make a little extra detour around to speak to somebody. It may be you have to go visit and take some time out of your evening and go visit someone that's on the sick bed. Maybe you have to go to do what God wants done. And so many times we're really unwilling to go. Isn't that right? I mean, we're too busy. We can give 100 reasons why we can't do the work of the Lord. There's always... I think I said it in Sunday school. Maybe I said it in church. If you're smart enough, if you want to do something, you can have 5 reasons, 5 Bible verses why you should. If you don't want to do it, you can have 5 why you shouldn't. You say, well, I don't know about that. I do. I've dealt with people like that. They can tell you why they ought not obey the Lord. When it's in black and white, what they're doing, they're twisting the Scriptures, but that's what they're doing. And so we see this servant. We ought to learn some things from this fellow. He was dependable. The Lord uses faithful, dependable people. That's who He uses. If you want to be used of the Lord, be faithful, be dependable. Some don't care. You have to be willing to go. You have to be willing to go. Brother Ronnie in the prayer room talked about going and seeing Tommy Pilkey. He's in the hospital and very, very sick. I don't know if he's on his deathbed or not, Brother Ronnie, but he's very sick. Ronnie could not have done that had he stayed at home. And neither can you. Many things God wants out of our life, we have to go. And you might as well work that into your thinking. And I understand this. Sometimes going is uncomfortable. It gets us out of our comfort zone. But it's right. It's right. And so he was willing to go. And then the servant was given specific instructions. He knew why he was going. If you look in verse 4 and 5, "But thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from which thou comest?" And Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not thy son thither again." There was no question about what he was supposed to do. Aren't you glad we have a Bible that tells us how we're to live our life, what we're to do? I know sometimes we have the Holy Spirit leads us in areas and we don't actually maybe have a verse for it. He might lead you to give some missionary $20 or $100, or he might lead you to give a word of encouragement or cheer to someone. But here is this servant, and he knows where he's going. He knows where he's headed. He's not out there just wandering around here and there and thinking, maybe I'll go over here and check out, see if they have any young brides over here or possibilities over here. No, he had orders from the master where he was to go. I think that's important. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Here's what some people say about this thing of sinners. They say, "Why, you've got the command to go. What are you waiting on?" I'll tell you what we're waiting on. We're waiting on direction from the Holy Spirit, don't you see? My, we have to have direction. The servant was told, "Do you have direction for your service? Do you have direction? Do you know what God has for your life?" My, he's given a specific instructions. But notice this, the servant anticipated the problems. He said, "Now what if she doesn't go?" I mean, hey, he's thinking, Abraham hadn't said anything about that till the question was asked. Here's what the servant's saying. "I want to be sure I have it right. I want to be sure, Lord, I'm doing, Master, I want to be sure I'm doing it your way." And I think that application applies to us today. I'm afraid so many people's trying to do the Lord's work the wrong way. The Bible not only tells us what to do, it tells us how to do it. Brother Harrison, we live in a day, there's programs of all kinds out there. All these church programs, you do this, here's a how-to book to build your church, and here's a how-to book on how to win 2 people a week, and on we could go. Oh my, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to chunk man's program, go with God's program. That's what we need. You want to serve God, you want it to count, you want to accomplish something, do what God wants you to do God's way, don't you see? Oh my. Well, it stirs me up. When I look at this servant, he was concerned. He wanted to deal with the issues that came up the master's way, not his way. And then I want you to notice verse 9 and 10. After he got clarification, the Bible said, "And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servants took 10 camels of the 10 camels of the camels of his master." And here's what it says, "and departed." Once he knew, once he had the particulars, he didn't waste any time. You know what I believe? I believe we're the biggest wasters of time, maybe of all of the history of mankind. I believe we waste time. Mine, I know some people are busy. I'm certainly not trying to diminish your busy lifestyle, but when I say waste time, we're doing things, we're busy, we're doing things that doesn't count for the Lord. And Mike, can I just say this, when you replace better things with good things, you're messing up. You're backing up, don't you say? And so here's the servant, and he's just serious about the work of the Lord. I mean, he gets his assignment. He asks a few questions to make sure he has it right. And he doesn't play about it. It's not a plaything with him. It's not something to stroke his ego. He has one goal, to please the master, to please Abraham, to accomplish what Abraham has asked him to do. Mind, that ought to be our mindset. Why is it we play at church? Why is it we make little jobs, big jobs. Why don't we just do what we're supposed to do and go on for the glory of God? I'm afraid we just make a mountain out of a molehill so many times. Let's just do the work of God and do it in a timely manner and in God's way and go on for His glory. That's what the servant did. That's what he did. He just got his assignment. He just received his assignment and he just began the work. And I don't know, well, what I need to do, preacher. I don't know what you need to do. Do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. But whatever's right for you, be about it. Don't fiddle around with it. Don't piddle at it. Get with it, the work of the Lord. Life's soon going to pass you by. I'm 63 years old. I used to be 18, Brady, 17, whatever you are. I used to be that. I can remember that. I remember when I was 17, believe it or not. I can remember way back then. I thought the Lord come back time I was 40. That was my mindset. That's what I thought in my mind. I'll never make the 40. The Lord's going to come back. Here I am 63 years old. I'm like Brother Ronnie. I'm going to have to rethink my theology, Brother Ronnie. Here I am. Life is just, it's just gone. And some of you older folks can say that. Here you are. You're on the backside of life like I am. And all of a sudden, you stop one day and think, where did it go? It's just gone. Young folks, don't piddle your time away. You can't buy it back. You can't get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. 2019, it's gone. You say, preacher, I wasted 2019. I want to get it back. I'm sorry, it's gone. If you waste it, it's wasted. 2020's on us. If we waste it, we just waste it. There's nothing you can do about it. You lose a lot of money, you might earn it back. And you might be able to get a lot of things back. But you'll not get time back. When it's gone, it's gone. You better be busy about the work of the Lord. What He has for you to do. I'm convicting my own self as I preach this evening. So many little projects I have in my mind to do. Oh, can I say, what God has for you better be about it, because time soon passes away. Amen. Well, he gets busy. He doesn't waste time. He departed. Oh my, we could look at all them time scriptures. Life's like a vapor. And just look all them in Job. Man's born of woman's a few days. But here he was. He didn't waste time. When he knew what God wanted, he got about it. And church, that's what this church ought to do. That's what we ought to do. When you know what God has for you, you need to be about it. Now you can take that, you say that's just little elementary first grade truth. Why is it we can't grasp it? Are we that spiritually immature that we can't grasp the fact of the brevity of life and the shortness of time? My, he wasted no time. The servant knew where he was going, wasn't wandering around aimlessly. The servant positioned himself for success. You know where he camped at, where he stopped at? He stopped at the well. You know why he stopped at the well? That's where the young girls come to get water for their family's needs and for the livestock. He positioned himself where the brides, potential brides, would pass by. Great lesson there, really, if you really want to focus in on it. He positioned himself for success. Now I want to ask you, are we positioned for success? Now here's what the Bible says. We'll reap in due season if we faint not. Be not weary in well doing, for we'll reap in due season if we faint not. My, are we sowing? Are we sowing and positioning ourselves for a reaping? Are you sowing? Let's just make it personal. The church is a collection of individuals that come together. Let's just make an individual thing. Are you sowing? Are you positioning yourself for success? You young preachers, are you learning the Word of God so that when your opportunities come, you'll be prepared? Are you doing that? How about you ladies and what God has for you? My, here's what I'm saying. This servant, he positioned himself for success. He, if you'll let me just use this little phrase, he didn't really camp out, but he stopped and stayed right there at the well, and that's where he found Rebecca at. He got himself where he needed to be. And my, you need to position yourself for success. That doesn't guarantee success. We had a prayer meeting here maybe a year or two ago for a revival meeting. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. It's just a meeting. Then we had another revival meeting, Brother Finney's meeting, and I felt like God showed up. What I'm trying to say is sometimes you position yourself for success and we don't see what we're expecting to see. But at least we placed ourselves in a position where if God wants to bless us, He can bless us. Amen. That's what you need to do with your life. You young people need to do that. That's why I'm glad you're learning Scripture, fellas. Hiding in your heart. I'm glad of that. You're just positioning yourself. When the Holy Ghost wants to use you, He can pull one of them Scriptures out. Let you help somebody. My, what are they doing? Just positioning themselves for spiritual success. Well, let me give you a few more and I'll close it down. The servant saw the Lord's blessings and help upon his undertaking. Verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. He's praying for the Lord's help. My, we're such an arrogant bunch today. We think we don't need the Lord, but without Him, it's all vanity. I mean, I don't know what we think. What are we going to do without the help of the Lord? John 15:5. You know what the Scripture says. He's praying, asking for the Lord's help. Notice verse 21. And the man wandering at her, he found Rebecca. She's the one, but he's wandering. He's cautious. He's cautious as he proceeds. He's cautiously optimistic. My, so many times we need to. Jimmy gave me a little phrase the other day, and I just kind of latched onto it. We need to pray with one eye open. We need to pray. What do you mean by that? We need to pray and seek God, but we need to be watchful too. We need to be cautious. My God, God's working, but we need to be cautious and make sure. Make sure. My, here was the servant. He's come to get Isaac a bride, and he asked for a sign. God gave him a sign. But in verse 21, he's holding his peace. He's not jumping up and down with joy. He's still cautious. My, you ought to be cautious in the work of the Lord. He acted. The servant, let me just hit a few more of these and I'll close down tonight. The servant, he had personal details about his master in verse 27. Blessed be the Lord God of my master, Abraham, who hath not left destitute, my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord hath led me to the house of my master's brethren. He had some truth about his master. And my, you can make application as easy as I can. I mean, you can just take this chapter. It's just one little truth. In verse 34 through 48, he communicates to those he's dealing with. He tells them everything. The term I use, he just laid all his cards on the table. He didn't try to play games with Laban and the family. He just said, here's why I'm here. Here's why I came. I come to get a bride. Rebecca's who I want to take back. Will you let her go? I mean, he just laid it out there. There wasn't no game playing. Let me tell you, in the work of the Lord, I've come to the place there ought not be any game playing. We all just shoot straight. We all just be honest. God sends you down to somebody, you ought to go down and say, look, I feel like the Lord sent me down here to talk to you. Will you allow me to talk to you for a few minutes? I don't see anything wrong with you. If they say no, then there's nothing you can do. But go on. Just like Abraham told the servant, you're not under obligation if she won't come. But I think so many times we try to sneak in the back door instead of just saying, hey, here's what God's put on my heart. I think that. Here's this servant. And he just spelled it out. If I could say it this way, he communicated. He wanted a response. If you look in verse 49 of this chapter, notice what he says in verse 49. In verse 49, and now if you would deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. Now, I've told you the truth. Now, you tell me how it is. You tell me what your decision is. And now, if you'll deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. He said, okay, now I've been honest with you. I want you to be honest with me. What's it going to be? She going to go or she's not going to go? I mean, he's serious about what he's doing. I don't know if I could drive that home. This fellow's not playing games. He's not trying to win friendships. I'm not against you winning friendships. But he's not interested in that. He's interested in taking a message that his master's given him to the right person and bringing back a bride. And my, he's not going to be satisfied until that's done. And if you will look, they wanted him to stay a while, and he refused. He would not stay. He did not. Let me see if I can find that. I probably need to show you that, and I'll close it down. Look in verse 55 of chapter 24. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days at the least 10. After that she shall go. And here's the servant's response. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Now really he had the hard part done. He had the bride. He had permission to take her. And they just saying, let us just fellowship a little while. He said this, the job's not finished. Don't hinder me from completing the mission, let her go. And of course they let her go. And here's what I'm saying. So many people try to slow you up in the work of the Lord. For whatever reason, every kind of reason, they want to slow things up. They want you to slow up. And maybe sometimes it's right too. I wouldn't say it's always wrong not to. Sometimes it's right to slow up. Let me just say it that way. But my, be sure it is. Before you lag behind, before you tarry, before you waste time, be sure God wants you to. Here's what they said. Now you just wait a few days and then you can go ahead and finish the work of the Lord. He said, no. Here, I'm putting it in East Tennessee words. He said, no, I need to go today. The job's not finished till I get back home with the bride. It'll get back on. And here's what I say to you. So many times we get 80% of our work that God has for us done, or 70 or 60. We get it completed, but we never say it takes forever to finish it. Isn't that right? I mean, really just stop and think about that. I've got a little kitchen project I started, seemed like 15 years ago, and I'm still trying to finish it up. Just can't seem to get there. That's how we do the Lord's work. Not this servant. He's serious about the work of the Lord. My, I could pick out a lot of things. He never griped. You never hear him throwing off or complaining about the difficulty of the journey, about the hardship. You never hear that out of him. His one goal is to please his master. He never lost focus. Always focused. He was, read this whole chapter when you get home. He was focused the whole time. They never were able to move him off of the goal of completing the work his master had given him. I just want to ask you tonight, what kind of servants are we? How do we fit? Is there some attributes this servant had that would be good for our lives? Are we getting the work of the Lord done, completed, finished, whatever word I need to use? Are we just piddling at it? I don't know. I ask myself that on some days. I just have a bad day. Maybe I shouldn't tell you that, but some days I work hard and don't get much accomplished. I blame it on my age, but I don't know if that's it or not. I just wonder what kind of servants we are. Do we even have a servant's mindset? Do we look at ourselves as being the property of someone else? We are. Do we take his work serious? Is it really serious? No jokes. You don't read one place where this servant told a joke. You don't read where he's sharing a story. You don't read where he's trying to entertain. He carries the message the master gave him. He unloads it. He asks for a response. And he's ready to go back to his master and get a new assignment. Let's bow our heads this evening. I don't know. Maybe just a lesson for you. I don't know what it is. But if God spoke to your heart, maybe not even about what we preached on. Maybe if God spoke to your heart this evening, maybe you'd like to pray. Maybe everybody's where they need to be. But I challenge you, let's be the servant we ought to be. For the glory of God.